Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Wednesday, May the 4th, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour, 49 degrees, cloudy skies here in Marion. And let's hope my voice holds up this morning. It was quite an election night last night, and we're going to get to all of that in hour number two. We will also be joined by Nan Whaley, the Democrat who got the nod to be the candidate for governor of Ohio in the fall against Republican Mike DeWine. So Nan Whaley will be with us in hour number two today. You will not want to miss that. So Nan Whaley coming up at 9:15 this morning. And actually, that was quite an historic win last night. Nan Whaley is the first female ever to be nominated by one of the major parties in Ohio. So she'll be live with us this morning at 9:15. We'll also wrap up some other election stuff. The Dr. Davis is ahead of Ken Stuyvesant by about 44 votes. But what we have to remember at this point, just to be on the level at this point, is that there are 81 absentee ballots and 91 provisional ballots that have not been counted. They will be counted, I believe, before the end of May, and we will see who is the victor there. So we'll talk about that next hour as well, and possibly be joined by some other people. But this hour, and I did want to mention today that today is the 52nd anniversary of the Kent State shootings. And in Ohio, we remember that very well, and everybody who was involved that day, we remember them today. May 4th, 1970, that happened 52 years ago today. That is hard to believe. This hour, though, I believe we have two gentlemen on the line who are going to explain something kind of exciting that's going on here in Marion, started the other night at a city council meeting, and we'll see where it goes from here. We'll get filled in, joined by Chief Chuck Deem and Lieutenant Ryan Redman of the Marion City Fire Department. Are both of you on the line?
Yes, Scott. This is Chief Deem and Lieutenant Redmond here.
Perba. Good to talk to you both. How are things?
Things are going as well as they ever do here at the fire department.
Did you make anything of the election last night or election day yesterday?
We didn't really have anything that really pertained to us. You know, no local ballots or local races or anything. So we just kind of were bystanders, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, just watch the whole thing happen.
Yep.
Well, you guys have a big thing going on here. It was presented, I think, in front of City Council on Monday night. Tell us a little bit about it.
So Monday night, I presented to the Council Finance Committee a proposal for a 2.75 mil property tax levy, and the purpose behind this levy is to take care of the fire department's capital needs. So what I mean by that is, number one, first and foremost, we need to replace our central station. Anybody who's familiar with it knows that this station will celebrate its 110th birthday in October this year, and it was built to house horses. So we've done an excellent job, I feel, over the years of adapting and making this building work for us, but we've just outgrown it, and it's time for us to move into the 21st century. Additionally, the levy will allow us to put our rolling stock, so our fire apparatus and our ambulances, on a regular replacement schedule. And we would like to get to the point where we can meet NFPA 1901, which states that fire apparatus should be in frontline service for only 15 years and then placed into reserve. Up to this point, we've been getting 20 or more years of frontline service out of these vehicles. The problem is that we're then running them to the point that they're failing, and then we replace them. We need to be a little more proactive with that. And then the final thing that this levy will do is it also provides some funding down the road for us to update and improve the outstations. So what I mean by that is Station 2 on Bell Fountain Avenue and Station 3 on Jefferson Street will both reach their 50-year anniversary in the next 10 years. So Station 2, I believe, will be 50 years old in 26. Is that right?
25,
I'm sorry. And Station 3 will be 50 years old in 33. When you build a firehouse, you build for 50 years, and then you plan on either replacing or doing a major renovation. This levy should allow us to do those, maybe not exactly at the 50-year mark, but in that ballpark. So that's the gist of what we're trying to do.
When you gave this presentation to council on Monday, how was it received?
I felt it was received well. We didn't receive any negative comments, and there were only about three questions asked at the time. This isn't the first exposure council has had to this idea. I actually brought these concerns up to the administration in 2018, and in 2019 there was quite a bit of work done in trying to actually get to the point of putting this same levy on the ballot. At that time, there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm for it, and I ended up pulling it from the final vote because I knew that at that time we didn't have the votes to do it. This time I'm far more optimistic. I believe the council is aware of the need. They've been in this building. They've seen the condition of our rolling stock, and they, from what I've seen so far, they seem to be behind this idea.
What has changed in the last few years in which now you feel you have the support of the voters to pass this?
That's a good question, Scott. And honestly, I'm not sure, other than maybe the public has had a little more time to digest what we're asking for and what we're telling them, and that hopefully they now realize that the need is real, that this isn't just something we've made up.
Now, this is a, and correct me if I'm wrong, a 2.7 mil property tax levy. Is that right?
It's 2.75, that's right.
2.75.
Right, and it's a continuous levy.
Now, what would that mean for somebody who owns property here in Marion? Because I think that's one of the problems just coming off of a primary last night. We see levies, we see bond issues, we see things like that, but I don't think people really know what that means for them, except that their property taxes are going to increase, but they don't know by what amount.
Right. So for the owner of a $100,000 home, this particular levy would increase their property taxes by $96.25 a year, which translates to $8.02 a month or 26 cents a day.
Now, do you think the majority of people who vote in an election understand that?
No, and that will be part of what we strive to do during this campaign, is getting that information out to the people and saying we're not asking for some huge tax increase. This is, at least in my opinion, a relatively small amount to ask from the public to help ensure a safe and adequate response from their fire department.
Now, this would be a continuous levy, so it would be there every year on people's property tax.
That's correct.
Now, when we look at this, will it be on the ballot this fall?
Yes, our goal is to have it on the, I believe it's November 8th, general election ballot.
Now, the November 8th ballot, this will be a gubernatorial year in Ohio. We won't have as high voter turnout as we do in a presidential year. But do you think that in a year, it's not an off-year election, let's put it that way, in the state, which tends to have more people turn out to vote because we will be selecting a governor, do you think that will help or hurt?
Well, I think it'll give us a broader view of the true support of the community. And by that, I mean, if more people are out voting, then we're going to see more of their actual overall opinion instead of just maybe a more limited scope that you might see, say, in a primary.
So this would be an update to the three firehouses in Marion City.
Over time, yes. Over time. Immediately you would see the replacement of the central stations, Station 1, and the upgrades to the outstations would come later on.
Now, the upgrade to Central Station 1, would it just be a whole new building, or would there be updates done there? How would that affect Central Station 1?
It would be a new building.
New build. Now, would it be in the same location?
No. We're looking at hopefully a plot of land in front of Marion General Hospital that the city currently owns.
Now, when we look at this, when it comes to people's services in town, how are they being impacted because of the way things are now?
So currently, at least in terms of, say, the rolling stock, our fleet is greatly diminished. This a department our size should be running two engines and a ladder truck in frontline service with, I feel, one engine and one ladder in reserve. We currently have two engines in service, and that's it. So the west side of Marion, Station 2, that's served by Station 2, currently does not have a fire apparatus on duty. We've got one ordered. We hope to get it within, say, the next month, but we've been in that position since January.
Why does something so important take so long?
So buying a fire truck isn't like going to your local car lot and just walking on the lot and buying what's available right there. When you buy a fire truck, it has to be built specifically for your department and what your department does.
Mm. And right now, the impact on somebody who would live in that area would be a fire engine would have to come from another station. Is that what would happen?
Correct. You would get a fire engine from Station 1, and we currently have an agreement with Marion Township Fire Department through our mutual aid agreement for them to send an engine from their station to and from the Whirlpool.
Having three stations in Marion, is there an average response time to a house in Marion that might be on fire or somebody who needs medical attention?
Ballpark 4 to 5 minutes is about the average.
Mm. You know, it's interesting because a few years ago, I know that the county wanted to put a new fire station in because there are such, I think, long response times. Anybody who lives past Meyer has to get a fire engine from Caledonia.
Right.
And they wanted to put a new fire station in, I believe, down by 98. And that went down in a big defeat, which shocked a lot of people. Why do you think, and that's been on the ballot, I think, a couple of times. Why do you think that can't be done? Because that is that's a big issue.
You know, Scott, unfortunately, I don't know that I'm really prepared to answer that question. That's another department. That's First Consolidated Fire District. And I'd hate to speak on that. Just, you know, I don't want to step on their chief's toes.
Right. Well, the reason I ask is because it seems like no matter what the levy is as of late, maybe the last 15 years, not many of them pass. We get a renewal levy passed every so often. And you even said a couple years ago you didn't feel you had the votes here. Is this an uphill battle?
Anytime that you ask taxpayers to increase the tax burden on them, yes, there's going to be some reluctance there. I will say that the taxpayers, the voters in the city of Marion, have been very supportive of their fire department and their police department over the years. And I believe it was in 2012 they passed a 0.25% income tax increase, and that money helps pay for staffing in both of the departments. And that particular issue, that won by a large margin. So I'm hoping to see the same kind of response this time.
Is the fire department in Marion City, the three fire departments, are they properly staffed at this point?
They're staffed to the best of our ability currently.
Would you like to have more?
I'd always like to have more.
yeah. But doing okay at this point.
Yeah, we're doing okay. What we're doing now to me is acceptable.
Okay. For people who don't understand the services of the fire department other than fighting fires, what do you guys do? What is the overall job of the fire department?
Basically, it's anything to do with safety. So, everybody thinks that, well, your house is on fire, you call the fire department and they show up. Well, we do a lot more than that. We do calls for odor investigations. We do recreational fires. We do hazmat. We do EMS. There's a lot of different aspects to our job. That's not, it's not all bells and whistles and flying around saving lives and whatnot. We do a lot more than that. And then we're starting to get into some prevention stuff. We have an inspector that obviously handles all that stuff for businesses. So we're a pretty well-rounded department.
How busy does the fire department stay in Marion?
Currently, we're just shy of 8,000 runs a year, which is, that's the busiest we've ever been. During COVID, I think it was down a little bit, but everything was down a little bit during COVID. So if you look at the past 20 years, our runs have doubled since 2020, roughly, 2000. So, it's not getting any slower. And the need for those trucks and for a station is greater now than it's really ever been. And I think that that's what we need to tell the public, is we want to be totally transparent with this, explain our need, and hopefully the public will support us.
Why has there been such an increase in runs in the last 20 years?
There's a lot of reasons. I think a lot of it has to do with the baby boomer generation getting older. So as they get older, they call the squad more often. Our population really hasn't grown exponentially, but the calls for service have, and we're just a busier city than we've been in the past.
When it comes right down to fires in the city, how often do you get a call to go out to a fire that causes serious structural damage?
We average approximately 60 working structure fires per year.
And has any of that changed in Marion? I know in recent times we had a house explode, I think, within the last year. Are things changing in what goes on in a city?
Certainly. Just in the time that I've been on the department, which I hired in 1996, we've seen a reduction in the number of structure fires annually. I believe the year that I hired in, we had 100 working structure fires that year, and we've seen a steady decline over the years, like I said, to about an average of 60 now. But Marion has, as I'm sure you're aware, a lot of older construction, a lot of older wiring, so on and so forth, which tends to lend itself toward a higher number of structure fires than you might see in a similar sized city that is overall a newer city that doesn't have the older infrastructure and the older construction that we have.
How did the spot out by the hospital get scouted as the possible location for the new fire station?
Well, number one, there's no land purchase costs associated with it because the city already owns it. It's a large lot, so there's plenty of room out there. And it's in, obviously, it's in Station 1's district. One of the things it'll do is it will cut the response time to the south portion of Station 1's district. If you look on our response map, currently Station 1 sits in the northwest corner of its district. This puts it a little more central. If we moved it further east, that would put it right in the middle, but there's really not a good place for it there, so this was the best option that we could find.
If this were to pass, what would that new station look like? What would be the big differences between that station and the one we currently have?
Number one, we would have more bay space. So what I mean by that is I'm referring to the apparatus bay. So we currently have 3 bays. That would be expanded to 5 to allow for storage not only of the frontline vehicles but also the reserve apparatus, and that would allow us to move the hazmat unit to Station 1, which I think is a better location for it. Additionally, we would separate the crew quarters from the apparatus bay. So the purpose behind that is to reduce the employees' exposure to carcinogens. There's been a big push over the years to try and cut down the incidence of cancer among firefighters. Firefighters suffer a greatly increased likelihood of certain types of cancers because of their exposures on the job, including that to diesel exhaust. So that's one thing. Another thing is we would have decontamination areas for fire gear and for EMS equipment. Currently, all that stuff gets tossed into the basement to be cleaned. Is when referring to the fire gear and the EMS equipment, gets cleaned in the same sink that we clean our mops and then go mop the kitchen with. So that's kind of gross.
You know, it's kind of interesting. What I have noticed over time is that when people are deciding where they're going to move, they look at the school districts, they look at usually City Hall or the courthouse, and they look at the fire stations in town. And there are a lot of fire stations in surrounding counties that are a source of pride. I've heard people talk about them in other counties. Because they are updated, they look so nice. And is that a problem in Marion? Do we need something like that? Would it be a source of pride to have this new fire station out there in front of the hospital?
Absolutely. I believe it would be a source of pride for this community. And it's funny that you mentioned people moving into an area and looking at that sort of thing. That's one of the things that I've actually mentioned to the administration and the council previously. We do have newer industry in town, and I think there's been some talk of expansion there. With that, hopefully will come, workers coming to this area and wanting to move into Marion, and hopefully this is something that we can showcase or folks coming to this town and say, look, you know, we do take pride in the city of Marion, and this is the most recent thing that we've done to show that pride and show our commitment to protecting this city.
What would happen with the land and the building that currently is the fire station?
Well, that's really up to the administration. I mean, it'll still be a city-owned, so whether they choose to demolish it, to sell it, you could make a really cool museum out of this. You could make a really cool restaurant out of this. You know, there's a lot of history here. So, I don't know. You go to some cities and you see fire stations that have been turned into other things, and they're cool. They're cool buildings, let's be honest, you know. We've got the poles, and we've got the old doors original from when the horses were in the stalls. It's cool stuff. So, I don't know what would become of it, but there's definitely potential. It needs some work, though, at the same time.
You know, it's interesting because I do remember the conversation a few years ago about the horse stalls, and that seems to grab people in regard to just how old the building is, and obviously that's coming up again here. Why is it that Marion, a fairly good-sized city, 35,000 people I think the last estimate is, has a fire station that is so old? Why was nothing done until, you know, or even talked about until 2018?
That's a good question, and I can't speak for before my time, but I know we've seen financially some hard times, with the recession, say, back in 2008, that sort of thing, which would have prevented that. Like I mentioned earlier, Station 2 and Station 3 were built new in the 70s and early 80s, and they replaced stations that are similar in age to this one. And there was always talk of replacing Station 1, but if Station 3 was built in 83, I believe we had a pretty solid recession hit about that time, and that may be what stopped that progress from reaching Station 1.
And there was a time, and correct me if I'm wrong, where the fire station on Fairground Street was closed for many years.
That's correct. It's been closed on and off a couple of times. It was closed in the 80s, right after it was built, because we laid off, I believe it was 16 members of the department then, and we couldn't staff it.
And then more recently, in 2010 to 2012, we did what are called rolling brownouts, where we would run with whatever personnel we had available to us that day. And if we didn't have adequate personnel, we would then have to close the outstation.
As far as the fire stations on Fairground and Center Street, what would the updates look like to those buildings?
Okay, Center, just for clarification, Center Street is Marion Township Station 1.
Okay.
Our Station 2 is on Bell Fountain Avenue, 1069 Bell Fountain Avenue. For those two buildings, and I'm speculating because this is down the road, and to be honest, it'll probably be the next chief that makes these decisions. But what would need to happen at those stations, in my opinion, is just upgrades in the safety systems, decontamination areas, zoning to get the carcinogens away from people. And because we're running ambulances out of those two buildings now, they would probably need to expand the crew quarters and add space maybe in the bunk room and that sort of thing.
I know it's kind of hard to tell because it just depends on what's going on at the time, but if this were to pass, a project of this size, what kind of estimate would there be on the time to complete it?
So if this passes in November, we would not actually see any money from it until 2024, and I'm expecting probably 2 years to completion. So we would move into that building, my best estimate would be in 2026.
Now, when we look at the city of Marion as a whole, they've been hit with some penalties as of late, and we see this in the media quite a bit for some, we'll just call them issues at this point, but people have seen the penalties that the city's been hit with and possibly more penalties to come. Do you think that might affect this vote, that the city is losing money that they normally would not have lost?
Unfortunately, I think it could, but I would stress to your listeners that those penalties are a result of the actions of a person who is no longer in office. So that person failed in his job for 2 years, and we're seeing the ramifications from that now. The people that have taken over are doing a far better job of doing things the right way and hopefully avoiding any future penalties.
You know, when it comes to this, you know, you guys are the ones who help keep us safe, and certainly we all appreciate it. But we talk about these penalties, and we've been talking about this stuff for over a year now. What impact does it have on the fire department and services like that?
Currently, we don't know what impact that's going to have on us. They're still working on reconciling the budget from 2020. So we don't know so far exactly what that's going to mean for us. But because of, and this is going to sound kind of funny, because of the pandemic and the money that was given to us from the federal level, there's a little silver lining to that cloud of the pandemic that hopefully that's going to help offset whatever negative consequences come from those penalties.
When you look back at that situation, because it was covered as it was, and it is what it is at this point with the penalties, do you have any feeling just on the way that all went down? Because that's a pretty unprecedented occurrence in Marion City history.
On a personal level, I think I'll reserve comment on that. you know, from a professional level, I hope that it doesn't have a huge negative impact on my department.
When you were at City Council the other night, you said a few questions were asked. What kind of questions were they asking?
We had one citizen asked if this would change anything with the income tax money, and I explained to him that the income tax money that is designated for the fire department goes primarily for personnel costs, and this is money intended to take care of our
what we refer to as capital needs, so facilities and rolling stock. So I explained to him that no, this money is designated for something else, so there would be no change there. And to be honest, off the top of my head, I don't remember what the other two questions were. Do you remember, Ryan?
I do not.
What, have you guys spoken to the mayor about this? Is he in support of this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've been in contact with the mayor throughout this entire process. It started, like I said, started back in 2018, and we never stopped talking about it. It's just after I pulled it from council in 2019, then we got hit with the pandemic, so that didn't feel like the right time to bring it back up. But since we're coming out of the pandemic period and things are looking a little brighter, we thought now was the time to bring it back.
Now, right, it would be a 2.75 mil property tax levy, which again translates, if you have a home in Marion that is worth $100,000, it would be an increase of $96.23 per year. And again, we had talked about, that's the point that will need to be stressed. Have you thought at this point about how you will get that out to the voters before November?
Certainly. Well, doing things like what we're doing right now, speaking to the media about it, getting the word out, both the radio and the newspapers, we'll be doing that. We'll be sending out mailers as the fall approaches to get the written information into folks' hands. And another thing we want to do is we want to host at least one. And maybe multiple open houses here at the station. So let the public come in. We'll give you a tour. We'll show you what the building looks like, what we're currently dealing with. And by then, I hope to have some visual representation of what the new station would look like, so you can see we're going to go from this is what we have now, this is what we will have.
Is there any other option? Because a lot of people ask that. Is there any other option to make these changes and update things that wouldn't involve an increase to people's property tax?
So the main thing that people ask me about is grants. And to my knowledge right now, there is no grant system currently available to replace a fire station. FEMA did some grants through their Assistance to Firefighters program, and I don't remember the year, it was around 2008, 2009, where they allocated, I believe it was $250 million for constructing new firehouses. And at that time, they were able to fund 119 projects. They received over 6,000 applications for that. So competition for that money when it is available is really, really tough. And unfortunately right now there doesn't appear to be any money out there for it.
Mm. You know, it's kind of interesting. Last night I think the only levy we had on the ballot was the MCBDD, Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities, and it was a renewal levy. It did pass, I think, by about 2% of the vote. And I think one of the reasons that levies have trouble passing now is people don't understand, well, what happens if we don't pass this? Things seem to be going okay right now. Why change things? If this is not done and time continues to go on, what are some of the things that are going to become major problems that the city is going to see?
Well, obviously, with a 110-year-old building, we're going to see a continuance of repair costs and so on and so forth. Some money was put into this building through a grant 2 years ago, but that money has bought us time. It didn't solve all the problems that exist with this building. Looking at the rolling stock, if we're not able to put these vehicles on a regular replacement schedule, then we continue to run them until they're at the end of their service life, and we could potentially end up again in a position like we're in right now, where we don't have a fire truck on the west side of Marion.
Mm. If somebody would walk into the building, one of the employees, firefighters, administrative people, what would they see that would surprise them the most about Marion's fire station?
Probably just the age. I mean, we have people come here from Columbus, say reporters or somebody from out of town or firefighters from another city, and they walk in and they say, man, this is like going back in time. This is, you know, a time capsule. This is what a fire station should look like. And I mean, we respect that. That's awesome. It's cool. It's very cool. But at the same time, it's not modern, and it doesn't fit our needs. So, you know, Chief hits hard on the cancer thing. So our bunk room is literally right on top of the apparatus bay. So when those trucks run, all those fumes, they go right upstairs where guys are sleeping. And it's not healthy. It's not safe. And it may have been fine when, you know, we had horses, but we don't anymore.
And this has increased cases of cancer in firefighters.
Correct.
You know, that's something I didn't know that. I don't think the public would know that. That's a terrible thing, and most fire stations, it's my understanding, because of age, are not like that anymore.
No, so the standard now is, Chief referenced zoning previously, so you have a hot zone, which is basically the bay where the trucks are, a warm zone, which is like a transition area, and then a cold zone, which is living quarters. So you've got a buffer between, you know, where the bad stuff is and where the employees are actually staying. And it keeps people safe, basically. And firefighters are dramatically more likely to have cancer. So it's a step in the right direction.
You know, when we look at that issue, the cancer issue, and the building being over 100 years old, does it affect the morale of the people who work there?
I don't know that it affects the morale. I think it's nice to have your community support. And that would definitely, it would definitely boost morale around here. But I mean, we make it work. It's what we've always had. We don't know any better, but we know that there's definitely room to improve. I wouldn't say it hurts morale.
That's good to know. You know, recently, Police Chief Jay McDonald was giving a speech, and it made the Marion Star, talking about Marion having a self-esteem issue, not so much a crime issue, that crime really hasn't increased, but self-esteem is a problem. Have you guys found that to be true?
Absolutely. And you see, it's not just with those who live in Marion. The perception of this town, I think, statewide is somewhat negative, more so than it really needs to be. If I speak to a fire chief from another department, tell him where I'm from, he's like, "Oh, Marion," and we've just gotten, I think, a lot of bad press. This is a good town. This is a good city with a lot of good hardworking people in it. And, unfortunately, not only do outsiders see that, but the folks that live here see it too, and they start to develop a negative perception of their own town. But overall, this really is a good town.
You know, that being said, when we look at people who turn out to vote, who will vote on this in the fall, do you think that self-esteem issue hurts people voting for things like this, voting for school levies, voting for other issues that come on the ballot like this?
I don't think so. I think that this would be a big step in the direction towards getting rid of that stigma. You know, we have newer infrastructure. We have a new fire station. We no longer have subpar equipment, I should say, rather than average. But it's a big step in the right direction, and hopefully the public will see the need. I keep talking about the need, and the need is genuinely there. You know, we should have 5 fire trucks. We have 2. And frankly, that's not cutting for our citizens, and we know that. But we can't change it without their help.
And for people who maybe just are tuning in, and we've got 7 minutes left here, how do we get from 5 fire trucks to 2 when we need 5?
Well, we had some trucks that were not replaced when they should have been, frankly. You know, the money wasn't there, we were in a recession, or we had COVID, or whatever the excuse may have been, and these trucks just kept getting older and older and older, and at some point, they're not going to pass inspections. So within the last 2 years, 2 or 3 years, we've had 2 fire trucks that were inspected, and the inspector he didn't even want us to drive them home, back to the station. That's how bad a shape they were in. So they were removed from service, and you can't just, you know, pull a fire truck out of thin air. You've got to order it. You've got to spec it out. You've got to pay for it. They're not cheap. You know, we take as good a care of them as we can, but it, like I said, at some point we need help from the public, and we're there.
With about 5 minutes left here in the broadcast today, and I appreciate you guys giving us this time, but in Marion, Ohio, because we see things on television and people watch documentaries and we go to other cities, what is the life like of a Marion City fire person?
It's busy. It certainly has its days where you don't stop. You know, I wouldn't say that it's like you see on TV where we're, you know, saving babies and cutting people out of cars every single day, but you definitely get that stuff. The squads are busy, so within the last couple of years, we went from having two ambulances to three, which cut the workload dramatically for our members. You know, previously, it was pretty normal for you to get on a squad in the morning and take off on a call, and you might not get back till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. You know, you'd eat lunch on the run. And we've done a little better job of spreading that load now with the extra squad, but it definitely has its days.
You had talked about working in conjunction with some other fire departments. How often does that have to happen because of the current situation that the Marion City Fire Department is in?
Well, I should first of all point out that we have an automatic aid agreement with Marion Township, so anytime we catch a fire, or they catch a fire in their district, we work together. And that's because we don't have, between the two departments, neither of us have enough apparatus and personnel to handle the situation on our own. We have to rely on each other for help. As far as Marion Township responding into the West End, honestly, I can't tell you how many times they've done it since January, but it's not something that otherwise they wouldn't be doing anyways.
So just to be clear for people who are listening, what would happen? It's a 2.75 mil property tax levy that would be on the ballot this coming fall. If you have a house, $100,000 in value, per year your property taxes would go up $96.25. Now, that would be a continuing levy. Now what that would do is it would build a new fire station, updated, here in Marion. It looks like it most likely would be out by the hospital. And then there would be updates to the stations done on Bell Fountain Avenue and Fairground Street. What is the biggest update that needs to be done?
Among the three stations, obviously, it's replacing Station 1 and bringing it up to current standards. And again, you know, I'll stress this one more time, that increased cancer risk that exists in the fire service, the biggest upgrade to all three buildings would be the work that would be done to reduce that risk for our employees.
Speaking to the citizens of Marion here, with about 2.5 minutes left to go, when you go out and send mailers and invite people to the fire station and do everything that needs to be done to make something like this pass in the fall, if you were just talking to a resident of Marion who's going to vote on this, what would you say to them to convince them that it is absolutely needed?
I think that we would probably come to them with our needs and what we have, and then, you know, this is the best way to get to where we need to be. So, you know, we have a 110-year-old fire station that doesn't meet really any standards. I mean, there's no female bunk rooms here. There's no female restrooms. You know, modern fire stations don't have stairs that are super steep and, you know, wrap around a hose tower. They're ADA accessible. They have elevators. They have, you know, all these things to meet current standards, and we just don't have it. We have roofs that are leaking. We have a basement that anytime it rains more than about an inch, you've got a half inch of water in the basement. So my locker is on the north wall, and that's where it floods. So there's been many mornings I've come in here to change into my gear, and you have to literally stand on the bench because you can't put your feet down because your socks will get wet. And we can do better than that as a city. So, and then as far as the vehicles go, you know, we're down three fire trucks right now. We should have five. We have two. We need to address that, and that is not acceptable to our citizens, but they're going to have to help us at the same time. You know, an average engine is about $600,000 right now. A ladder truck is $1.2 million. I mean, the city doesn't have that money laying around. So we've got to do something to bridge that gap, and hopefully the public will support us.
Mm. And our goal here is to provide a safe and reliable service to our citizens. And this is the best way for us to get back to that point.
And again, I just want to let the audience know we've been talking with Chief Chuck Deem, Lieutenant Ryan Redman of the Marion City Fire Department. And this is all in regard to a...
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
That will go on the November ballot for the Marion City Fire Department. Again, a house worth $100,000 would see a property tax increase of $96.25 per year. Thank you both for everything you do to keep us safe, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this before November.
Thank you, Scott, for having us on. I really appreciate it.
Take care, Scott.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to break. Coming back with Nan Whaley. Stay tuned.
MLP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Ohio State Senator